You know what she said? I was thinking about next Sunday. That's the biggest Sunday. I'm glad my Savior is risen. I'm glad he's alive today. I'm glad there's an empty tomb. Amen. Man, I'm going to have me a shouting time next Sunday talking about that risen Savior, boy. But he's not just risen on that one day of the year. He's risen every day. He's alive. He's real. He's reigning. He's going to return. Jesus Christ is soon to return. I don't think the world, but I praise God for Easter because although we preach the risen Christ 52 weeks a year, a lot of churches that don't, and that one Sunday a year, they'll put them up and raise them up, and I'm glad about that. Amen. Tonight, I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. I'll be in some different scriptures, but we're going to start right here. Proverbs 14:34. And once you have that, hold your hand there and go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. I want to talk to you about America's future, doom and destruction. America, what is the future for America? You ever think about, boy, what's America's future looking like? Well, I'll tell you, unless there's a repentance and turning from sin and turning to God like they did back in Nineveh, I'll tell you, America's in trouble. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Let's just stretch your legs one more time. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's read that together. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What exalts a nation? So we know exalt means to lift up, raise up. And so righteousness will bring a country up. So the flip of the coin would be unrighteousness will take it down, right? And then Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Yeah, when you got good leaders, godly leaders, leaders that will look to God and lead our country in the ways of the Lord, we're going to rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so, you can either have a blessing from God or a cursing from God. All depends how you approach the Lord. I want to pour my heart out to you tonight. Don't turn me off right away. Give me a full hearing. And at the end of the service, you say, okay, I don't agree. That's fine. But I'm going to preach to you what God's Word says. And you won't have to argue with me after. You can argue with God's Word. Amen. Father, again, I thank you for the precious word of God. And Father, I thank you for loving us and dying for us and raising that third day. And Lord, give an eternal life to all that put their faith in you. Forgiveness of sin. And Lord, a home in heaven. Excited about that. Father, I really believe you put this scripture in my heart today to preach. And help me now, Father. Help me to speak well for you and to be a blessing to all the people. Help us to see where America really is tonight and do all we can to change it. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, for you that wasn't here this morning, I preached a message called Stubborn as a Mule. Stubborn as a Mule. And out of Numbers 22. Tonight, America's future, doom and destruction. You know, since I was a young preacher, and a young pastor, and boy, that's been a long time now. I surrendered to preach when I was 21 years old, and I'm 64 now. So for 43 years, I've always wondered about America's future. You ever wonder about end times for America? I've never thought about end times for America. I'll tell you, since I've been a young kid, I thought about it. Where is America? Here's some questions I want you to just think about. Where is America in end time prophecy? I've been looking since I've been 21. I haven't found it yet. Why can't I find America somewhere pop up in the scriptures for end time prophecy? Why can't I find America's role in end times prophecy? We see Russia. They're coming down, Ezekiel 38. They're coming down from the north. I see China coming across with over an army of 200 million. How many with me? I see several other countries from the Middle East, even countries from Egypt and Africa. But I never found, Brother Coolidge, I've yet to find America in the prophecy. I've never found America in the end time future in the scriptures. I'm not saying America is not in the scriptures in the end times, because Bobby, I don't know it all, but I have studied for a lot of years and I know some things, and I'm just saying from this preacher's heart, I have never found America in the end time. Now, it could be there, but I've never found it. And if you ever find it, let me know. I have never seen America in end times prophecies since I've been saved for 44 years. Now, I know America for years has been on a spiritual decline. How many would say that? Yes. For years now, we've been on a spiritual decline. But in the last few years, I have seen America take a drastic direction totally against God and totally against His Bible. That King James Bible you got in your hand. More than ever before, Evangelist Rod Black, America now is totally, and this is what scares me, Carl. When you and I were younger, you didn't see this. But today, more than ever before, America is totally open and vocal and defiant against the things of God. We don't want it, preacher. We don't want it in our government. We don't want it in schools. We don't want it. Just get it out of here. We don't want it. Many Americans and elected leaders no longer have any regard for the things of God. And it seems like the more we go, the lesser they care about the things of God. Those who would run for office and have a biblical platform, they're ridiculed, number one, they're ridiculed. They're called heretics. I guess I'm a heretic for Jesus. And not qualified to run for our country's office. You gotta move with the times, preacher. You gotta get up to date. I'm gonna tell you, you look up here. You can't get more up to date than this King James Bible. You can't get more up to date than that. And look at the scriptures, and let's see again. You got it right. You're right there. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation. How much do you think we're being exalted lately? But sin's a reproach to any people. How many think we've been exalted lately or reproached? I'm talking about in the last 40, 50 years. We've been going down. Not just with this, it's really went down lately, but it's been going down even before the people here got in office. Our nation, from top to bottom, is sinful. America is heading downward, I believe with all my heart, to doom and destruction. And I'm going to show you in the scripture why I believe this. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I believe America is going to be mourning real soon. I know they're mourning already, but I think we're going to... I just see coming judgment on America. Tonight I want to share with you why I believe America is not found in biblical times. I think I know the reason, Coolidge. I couldn't find it. I don't believe we're there. And Pastor Myers, I don't believe America, you're going to find America, because I believe God's going to judge America before the end times start. And we're pretty close to the end times. By the way, when you study that scripture, it says latter days. Every time you see that, that's the last three. You know, the rapture happens, then you get 7 years of tribulation. Really, when you read that where it says latter times, those latter days, that's referring to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. We're not there yet. We're not in the tribulation yet. We're waiting for the rapture. Amen? I personally believe America will be judged by God Almighty before the end times start. And I truly believe America will not play a major role or have any significant part in the prophecy because of her wicked sin, and because I believe God's going to take America out. I believe America might still be here. Oh, I'd probably no doubt be here. But I believe America is going to be taken down so low, we'll be less than a third world country. Boy, you're saying already, man, preacher must be really mad. I'm just telling you the truth. I truly believe unless America has a national repentance, Billy, boy, let's preach that revival. We need revival. Can I tell you something? I believe unless we have a revival, starting with the president on down, and I don't care who the president is, Democrat or Republican, whoever their name is, but Mr. Obama's the president right now, so starting with President Obama on down, unless we have a national revival, I believe you're going to see great judgment from God come upon America real soon. I believe that. I want you to turn with me the book of Jonah, or just sit there and let me read it to you. Jonah chapter 3. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4 through 8, I'll just read it. I'm in Jonah 3, 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Boy, 8 words. Man, how'd you like to have a preacher preach a message of 8 words? By the way, this is I can't remember the last time I preached 2 times in 1 day. Amen. So we'll see how this works out. Thank you for praying. My birthday Friday, and I know it was here because the church prayed me through it. I really shouldn't even be here. I should have been in heaven, but you prayed me to let me stay. Although I'd be honest with you, it would have been more fun to go to heaven, but nevertheless, it's needful for me to be here, like Paul said. Amen. That's why I know I need to do God's work and all I can right now. Why I can. We need to be about our Father's business. No more time to play around. We got to get with the stuff. That's why we got to keep running those buses. That's why we got to keep having Sunday school. That's why we got to keep having the Christian school. That's why we got to do all we're doing, because we can't stop. Can't stop the jail ministry. We can't stop any ministry. We got to just keep on going with those Hattie Lorm special needs kids. I mean, everything we're doing, we don't need to stop. We need to increase what we're doing. Not cut back, but go forward, because the time is running out. I hope my words aren't falling on deaf ears. So the people of Nineveh, verse 5, believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. How many see that? The greatest of them. Talking about the top from, revival from top to bottom. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth. And sat. The king did this. Sat in ashes. That is national revival. When the leader of your country leads the way to get back to God. I'm going to tell you something. I think anything short of that, we're going to see judgments. I'm just telling you. Because God was going to judge Nineveh. God was going to destroy Nineveh, just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. And because they repented, God let them go free without judgment. Oh, they got their lives were judged at the end, but they weren't. They escaped judgment that day. How many are still with me? And he caused it to verse 7. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king. Boy, I'd like to have Mr. Obama cut up and say, "Everybody, go to church Sunday. Let's get prayer back in the schools. Let's stop abortions. Let's quit lying. The gay crowd. Let's quit marrying this gays off. Let's quit telling a lie that's okay. It's not okay. It's evil. It's an abomination to God." Boy, that would be a revival, wouldn't it? I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat. I'm talking about an American just getting. Of course, Mr. Obama, I don't think he's an American. He was born in Kenya, so I don't know. But anyways, no, don't get mad at me. I really believe he was born in Kenya. He never had a hard time producing birth certificate. Then it got, I'm going to get a lot of you mad before I even preach. If you think you're mad now over Obama, I'm really going to burn you when I start preaching. This is to warm you up to get you nice feeling good. It's coming back, baby. And he said, let neither man nor beast nor herd taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Boy, wouldn't that be something to have a nationwide, a day of prayer where everybody got down? I mean, the king says, everybody's going to do this. Man, I think pretty soon we're going to see the king telling us what to do, but they ain't going to be doing this stuff. Yeah, he let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Boy, what a revival. The whole city of Nineveh was revived. And the preacher did it with 8 words. You say, boy, I wonder if a preacher could do that. I ain't gonna. I want to share with you why I believe America is going to have some coming judgments. I personally believe America will be judged by God Almighty before the end times come. And we're not far from them right now. I believe that America will not play a role in prophecy. And I believe with all my heart, unless repentance comes to America, unless we have nationwide repentance, Carl, I mean starting with the president on down, and all of us, no one excluded. How many are with me yet? From the highest to the lowest, we need a national revival. Billy, our nation needs to drop to our knees and fall on our faces before God and say, oh God, we have sinned against you. That's what we need. Amen. Let me give you 3 major sins that I believe America has. And why? Because these 3, we have lots of them, but I'm going to give you 3 of them tonight. And I believe these are the 3 greatest. And I believe just these 3 here is why God's going to bring great judgment. Yeah, I always, I'll keep going. If I don't, I will never get done. Number 1, America has the sin of not regarding the sanctity of life. America does not regard the sanctity of life. We are killing, since 1973, we've been killing babies in the millions. Every year, over 1 million. Matter of fact, I don't have the exact one. We're over 50, in the 40 years from 73 to 2013, in the last 40 years, we have killed over, I don't have the exact figure, but I know what I'm giving you is at least correct or close to it. We have killed our own babies. We have killed over 58 million. We have killed over 58 million babies that God's given us in America. If that doesn't bother you, something's wrong. I'm glad my mom didn't abort me. Number 1 sin for America, they don't have the sanctity of life. We are killing innocent babies every year, every day, every month. And millions and millions of babies have been killed. Can you imagine how great our country could be if we let those babies live? All the different talents and all the qualities they had. Oh, listen, I'm going to give this to you. All babies are precious to God. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in God's sight. And life is precious to God. Why? He's the giver of life. God is the giver of life. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. That's why we always go back to dust. Breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I'm going to tell you right now, God's the creator of all babies, all people. I want you to look to me with this, how precious God thinks about babies. Look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139. You know, you say, oh, I've heard this before. You need to hear. You need to keep hearing it. You know what I'm afraid of? The modern liberal preachers don't preach this no more. And the only place you get it is in fundamental churches that believe the Bible. And a lot of times, I'm glad we have, a lot of times when people come and visit churches that are fundamental, I've had people walk out in my announcements. I have. I'm not proud of it, but, you know, and they'll say, wow, we've never heard things like that. And it's sad because they should be hearing it. Why aren't all the churches preaching the truth? Hello? I'm not saying we're the only one that has the truth, but I'm glad this is a church that stands on the truth. Look at Psalms 139, verse 13 through 18. Yep, someone owes me a pizza. Notice Psalms 139. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Before you even born, God knew all about you before you ever were born. Don't you think God don't know when they killed that, when they have those abortions? Baby, by the way, those aren't abortions. That's murder killing. Those are real. Those aren't fetuses. Those are babies. The moment they came together, life came in there. They just call them fetuses because they didn't want to say we killed them child. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. I'm not preaching. I'm just reading you God's word. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, listen, verse 16, 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, wasn't even formed yet. Are you with me? And in thy book, all my members were written. God knows, God knew what you're going to look like before you ever came out. Isn't that, well, we got a great God, don't we? Which in continuous was fashioned, were fashioned, whereas yet there was none of them. Oh my. All you was substance. You didn't have nothing formed yet. Yet God knew everything about you. Isn't that amazing? You think God ain't? If you think God cares that much about the people that aren't even got no body even formed yet, you think he ain't mad when he kill them? Hello? See, every Christian ought to know that abortion's evil. Every Christian ought to say, that's murder. It's about time for us to start. We've kept silent too long. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now let's talk about this, how God thinks about us. He's talking about those babies. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Wow. Brian, how many grains of sand are there? It's innumerable. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, God loves the babies. See, God has a sanctity for babies. Number one, America, I believe, is going to be judged greatly because they've lost the sanctity of life. Look at, while you're in Psalms, where are you at? Psalms, go back to 127. Let me, while we're there, we might as well read another one. Look at 127. Look at verse 3. You're in Psalms. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. When you have a baby, God's blessing you with that baby. I have two children, and they gave me five grandchildren. And I love my babies beyond measure. But I'm going to tell you something. They're not mine. They're God's. That's the heritage that God, that's the reward that God gave us. You have children today. God's given you a great responsibility to raise those children right, to love them, and to teach them the ways of God. And if you don't, you're not doing justice to what God gave you those children with. Hello? Notice, those children are heritages of the Lord. They're a heritage. They're a blessing from God. And the fruit of the womb is the reward. Look at verse 5. Happy is the man. Happy is the man that have a quiver full of them. Amen. Notice, Pull them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I'm going to tell you, you can, oh, once in a while you get mad at your children. By the way, you tore your parents up too, growing up. But there's nothing like a mother's love. We were watching Little House on the Prairie the other night. And John Boy and his wife, how many seen it? John Boy and his wife, it's a newer one, because John Boy's married now. And she was having a baby, and they started to go back to New York, and they had to bring her back. They had to go right back to the house of the Waltons, Walton Hill, or whatever it is. You know, the hills of Walton, or Walton Mountain, or something like that, okay? And they ran upstairs in John's old room, and she delivered two babies. She had twins, a little girl and a little boy. I'm going to tell you right now, that mother was crying out in pain as those babies were coming down the canal to come out. How many are with me? The birth. But after them babies came out, boy, that mother, and the Bible talks about this in the scriptures, she didn't even remember the pain, because when she saw the children, she was so excited. I want to tell you right now, love your children. Love your children. Love your grandchildren. They are a gift. They are a gift from God. And I'm still on number one trying to work on this. Why is America going to be judged by God? Because number one, the most precious gift that God gives us, life and children, we are killing. We are destroying. We are mutilating the very thing that God's trying to bless us with. Can anyone say amen? And if you don't think God's mad over that, you'll see. America has no regard for the sanctity of life, which God is the author and creator of all life. And babies are not yours, but they're God's. No one has a right to kill a baby in abortion or for anything. No one has. And that's I believe that, number one, that's the coming judgment. That's the number one judgment why God's going to judge America, because of all the, going towards 60 million now, million babies over the last 40 years. We've killed our own babies. It bothers me. I would die for my babies. I can't imagine anyone killing their baby. Now, let me say this to you. I'm sure there might be people here tonight that had abortions. You weren't saved, or you didn't know right from then. By the way, you just ask God to forgive you. He'll forgive you. You say, oh, God must hate me. He loves you. He wasn't pleased with an abortion. But I'll tell you one thing. He loves you. He loved that baby. And you get saved, you'll see that baby in heaven. Isn't that exciting? So number one, America will receive judgment for not regarding the sanctity of life. Number two, America will receive judgment from the Lord because they did not regard the sanctity of marriage. Hold on, fasten up, get your seatbelt going here. By the way, starting with Adam and Eve, God ordained marriage. Marriage, but did you know God instituted the marriage before he did the church? The family came before the church did. The home was established before the church was. Jesus started the church. Jesus started the Fundamental Baptist Church when he was in Jerusalem, when he walked on this earth. Hello. Boy, it's quiet here tonight. But that's the truth. He did start the church when he was here. He said, upon this rock, no one will be able to destroy it. Amen? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So beginning with Adam and Eve, God ordained marriage in the home with a husband and a wife. Male and female. By the way, Eve's name, the word Eve, which Adam gave to his wife, means the mother of all living. Now I want you to get some thought with this. You there, yeah, the fifth grader. These are fifth graders. Is that something the game would call the fifth graders? You got smart as a fifth grader? Let's see if you're smart as a fifth grader. I've never seen that show, but I've heard about it. Did you ever think if God would have made two males for marriage, If God would have originally started, not with Adam and Eve, but with Adam and Steve. Think with me now. I'm not even trying to make you laugh. I want you to think with me. If he would not have started with Adam and Eve, but he would have started with Adam and Steve, the moment Adam died and the moment Steve died, the human race would have died. Because they had no way to reproduce. And by the way, God talks about, I want you, in Genesis, he says, I want you to go out and multiply. There, listen, because two males can't reproduce, God never meant for two males to be together. He meant a male and a female. Go to Genesis. Let me just read you a couple of scriptures. And I'm probably boring you tonight, but that's right. Genesis chapter 1. But I'm giving you all scripture. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he male and female. Created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. I'm going to tell you right now, God had a plan. He wanted to raise a generation of people. And he wanted to, and that, by the way, Christ came from heaven to die for those people's sins, to redeem them so you could have a blessed eternity with him. Amen? Look also while you're in Genesis. Why don't you look 2:23, chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Fellas, ladies, don't run. You're getting a spat with your spouse. Don't run back to your mom and dad. Oh, you can't believe what he said to me. Oh, I hate. No. Then you'll be smooching later that night. But mom and dad know everything that you guys had a fight over. And then they hate your spouse forever. Why can't you love them like I do? Well, maybe because you're kind of stupid. Don't bring your arguments to mom and dad. Keep your arguments at home and cut the arguments down. Seek God's face. Amen? Listen, America needs to get their home back in order. I'm going to tell you that right now. And it starts with a husband and a wife. God is totally opposed to same-sex marriage. I know you hear a lot about same-sex marriage. Now they're wanting us to marry people. By the way, we put in our constitution of our church. When we made the new constitution, we put in, of course, you got all got a copy of it, but we put in there that we believe it's totally an abomination to God. And that we will, and none of our preachers, I put in, no same-sex marriage can be performed at Bethel Baptist Church. Amen. Will not. It's in our Constitution. And don't go to one of our, you know, don't go to any of our preachers because they can't do it either. Brother Ray, you're never going to see a same-sex marriage in this church as long as I'm alive. And as long as Pastor Dave's here and all the rest of you. You know, we'll probably go to jail over this. But we're not going to do it. It's an abomination to God. I'm not going to have something, abomination, take place in a holy place. And God's, I'm going to read you some scriptures. I'm going to read you, oh, you just don't like them people. Listen, God died for them just like he died for me. But that sin's an evil sin. It's an abomination to God for men to be with men and for women to be with women. By the way, in Genesis 19:24, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19:24? Because, the Bible says, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And I used to think we only had I always thought San Francisco, queer city. I always thought the gay capital of the world, San Francisco. I always thought God was just going to shoot that thing right down in the ocean. I'm going to tell you right now, God hates the sin of homosexuality. He doesn't hate the homosexuals. He loves that person. He doesn't love their sin. He wants to save them, just like he saved us. And we're no better than them, but that sin that they're doing is an abomination to God. I'm going to show you in a minute here. And now, Brother Bill, we got so many queers all over and people are wanting to get married. I really think now maybe the whole country is going to be. But what I think is going to happen? You know what? I'm going to just tell you what I think is going to happen when God judges America. Just like he rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe he's going to rain fire and brimstone on America because of the Sodomites. I believe that with all my heart. Boy, aren't you glad you came? That's why you should get these people saved. In Genesis 12:13, are you still in Genesis? Look at 12:13. By the way, I'm just reading the scripture. I'm not making none of this up. I'm reading it right to you out of the Word of God. Abraham dwelt in the land of Cana, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were what? Wicked? I mean, Genesis 13:13. Isn't that not, that 13 is a bad number too. And boy, isn't that amazing? Genesis 13:13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Exceedingly. How many see that? Genesis 13. If you think God is happy with homosexuality, sodomites, he's not. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of it. Listen, if you think America's going to escape what Sodom and Gomorrah did, didn't escape, you got another thing coming. We're going to get judgment because of homosexuality. Boy, this is a great message. I love this message. And contrary to people and men, contrary to popular demand and opinion, you are not born with feelings of love with for another man. They say, oh, I didn't become a queer. I was born one. You're a liar. You weren't born that way. Look up here. I'm going to really let it fly. Every person that's ever born is born with a God conscience that God is. John 1:5, he was the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Scripture teaches in Romans, and we're going to Romans now. You're going to see the fireworks are coming out in Romans. You have a God conscience in you, and if you don't darken that light, every person has what we call like a spiritual dome light in when they're born. And then the more you accept about God, God will give you more light. The more you turn God off, you get darker, 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 until you're in complete darkness. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. How many are still with me? I want you to turn to Romans with me. People that are sodomites, they have suppressed that God conscience that they were born with. Look at Romans 1:21. Because that which, I'm in Romans 1:21. By the way, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures in Romans. So chapter 1. Because that which, when they knew God, see when, look up here. Look, everybody look up. When you have a little baby, they look up and they say, they see all those stars and they say, where's God? Mama, where's God? I'll bet you've had kids say that to me. Say that to you. It's because they're born with a God conscience that God is. And God's the creator of it. So when they see the firmament declares the glory of God and shows his handiwork. Come here with me. And so they're saying, where's God? See, that's a God conscience that every person, he was the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Matthew 6:23 says, if that light that's in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? And you people that turn to this wicked sin, they put the light of God out. It's not popular preaching, but I'm giving you truth. Because holiness would not defile itself like that. Because, look at verse 21, Romans 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was what? Darkened. And so you can say what you want. They say, "Oh, I'm a saved homosexual." Hogwash. You got to be in light. You're in darkness. There ain't no saved homosexuals. Not according to scriptures. Now there are homosexuals that can be saved if they come from that sin, but they're in darkness. You can't tell me they're in light, because that's all darkness. God says it is. Look at verse 24 through 28. Look at verse 24. Wherefore, we're talking about these men with men, women with women. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Hello? Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For verse 26, Romans 1, for this cause, the cause of them going man to man, woman to woman, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. This needs to be, I wish our president would get up and read this scripture on local, on main TV. World news. That's what we need in America. Look what it says. For even the women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. It's not natural for a man to be with a man. It's not natural for a woman to be with a woman. And if you got those kind of feelings, you need to get close to God. You're in a lot of darkness right now. You better get light, or you're going to burn in hell forever and ever. And likewise, also the men, verse 27, leaving the natural use of the woman. Hey, this you can't get no more plain than what I'm saying. You can't get no more plain than what I'm saying here. I'm telling you, number one, the sanctity of America has turned against God because they went against the sanctity of life. Number two, I'm telling you, America's going to be doomed and judged because we are against the sanctity of marriage. Because marriage is for a woman and a man, not two men or not two women. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. You know, how many preachers do you think, how many people think that this was preached in this all over America today in their churches? Most of the time, and I might even get some, you can't believe all the hate mails I've got when I preach on the queers. They ought to be sending me thank you mails. Trying to set them free. Oh, you can't believe, man, you can't believe some, boy, when I first got here, Carl, whew, some of those people, well, they don't stay with me, I flush them out, but, well, the Word of God flushes them, but, boy, they just fried me, they fried me. I'm glad they didn't have a gun, it shot me. I don't care. Brother Jack, I'm never going to turn on the Word of God. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And I don't care if the president and all the governors of the United States, okay, same-sex marriage, I'm telling you there's a God Almighty in heaven, and God is against same-sex marriage. And matter of fact, he hates it. It's an abomination to him. And it ought to be an abomination to every Christian. Amen. It ought to burn within you, say, no, this is not right. By the way, it's going to bring brimstone and fire upon us. Yeah, you'll see. You'll see. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of the air. God said, hey, they're erring, which was me. And look at verse 28. Don't tell me they're saved. Don't tell me they're saved. These sodomites, homosexuals, how many got verse 28? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Man, when you become a homosexual, one thing you've done, you've kicked God right out of your life. You went completely from the light you're in obscured darkness. And that's the truth. Now, I'm going to show you the characteristics. Watch these characteristics of the homosexual group. They're being filled. How many got verse 29? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters. Look at, how many got verse 30? I've numbered these. Haters of God. By the way, you know what number that is when you start numbering? 13. It's the 13th one listed. Haters of God, number 13. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Wow. That doesn't surprise me. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who, look at that, this 32 will knock your socks off, Brian. Who, knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. They know they're wrong. They know they're going to burn. They know that they've separated themselves from God, and they take pleasure in not only that, but the others that will join them. Come on, let's all do it. I don't care what God says. We're going to have our own God. Well, their God is Satan. And so, you see, it's just a tremendous downfall. The characteristics. By the way, don't turn to this, because I'm going to close out here. But first, write this down. 1 Kings 15, verses 11 and 12. There are only a few. Pastor Dave did a good, great Bible study in Sunday school on the kings of Israel. King Asa was one of the ones that were good. Most of them were bad. But here's what it says. Here's what it says about King Asa in 1 Kings 15, 11, and 12. And King Asa took away the Sodomites out of the land. Woo! He rid the land of the Sodomites. He rid the land of the Sodomites. That's what the king did back there. Because he knew they were evil. Boy, I wish you could do that in America today. I'd be lucky. I'd send them anywhere they wanted to go. I'd love to send them to Cuba. Every one of them. You say, you're heartless. No, I know what the Bible teaches. And what's happened is this. I'm an old silver-haired preacher. I've been preaching since I've been 21 years old. 40-some years I've been preaching. And back when I was a kid, they still preached on this stuff. But now it's not politically polite to preach what the Bible says. I'm not trying to be politically right. I'm trying to be biblically right. And it was a sad day when preachers wanted to be more politically right than they wanted to be biblically right. Listen, the Bible says, let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true. And every man a liar. And if you don't think I'm telling the truth, then you think you're twice. You're a stinking liar. So man can still flip it out. Sore foot and all. America's going to hell because we aren't mad about all the sin that's around us. And it's about time we start speaking up because I'm telling you, judgment's coming on America before the rapture. Judgment, I believe with all my heart, is coming on America before the rapture. Because I don't see us in the end times. And I tell you, because sanctity of life, we murdered babies, we're still murdering. Sanctity of marriage. We turn marriage around to two men and two women. Let me give you the last one if you're still with me. Are you mad enough yet? Or can you take one more? Finally, I believe, number one, we've lost the sanctity of life in America. Number two, we've lost the sanctity of marriage. And number three, we haven't done it all the way yet. But we're beginning with this administration. But it's not just this administration. It's the way the world's going. But this administration, the sanctity of Israel. See, that land that they're in, God gave that to them. That's holy ground. 1967, they took back Jerusalem. That's their city. By the way, the Bible calls Jerusalem the city of God. Let me just give you a few thoughts, and then I'll let you go home. You can talk about me all night. I believe with all my heart America will receive great judgment from God is because America will turn her back, and we're already doing it. We'll turn our back on the nation of Israel. President Obama has not been a friend, real friend to Israel. I know he just was over there last week. And first time in 5 years. And he couldn't wait to get to the Arabs so he could badmouth the Israelite. You know, can I tell you what God thinks about Israel? The Bible says in Zechariah 2:8, for he that toucheth you touches the apple of his eye. You don't think God loves Israel, you don't know your Bible. I truly believe, listen, I'm all done. I preach this a lot, and I'll say this to the end until I die. I believe with all my heart, America from the beginning, at its very foundation, at the very beginning, God blessed America because, number one, America was used by God to preach the gospel all over the world. No country preached the gospel and got the word of God out all over the world like America. Number two, America produced and published King James Bibles. They produced the word of God. No country's ever put more Bibles out and done more with the word of God than America. That's two reasons, two uttermost reasons why God has blessed America. Do you just think we were good? Well, you think we just had all these natural resources just by accident? Greatest country in the world, richest country in the world, not no more. But God blessed in our infancy of our nation, America was founded to help get the word of God out, produce, and also number three, not only did they preach the word and produce and publish the word, but we proclaimed as Israel as our friend. America has always, until recently, been a friend to Israel. And those three reasons. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless them to bless you. God told Abraham, I'll bless them to bless you and curse them to curse you. The reason America's been blessed, because we've always had love for Israel. Now America many times go against Israel. In the recent past, America has condemned Israel for defending herself against them. They try to defend, they're always being shot at and bombed at, and they try to defend themselves. And boy, America says, you need to hold your fire. We need to shut up. We need to start saying, hold on, we're coming over there with you. We'll shoot back with you. We as a police dog of the world, we need to say, anybody touches Israel, I'm going to knock you, I'm going to sock you in the jaw. Amen? Amen? Let me give it to you my way. You mess with Israel, I'm going to nuke you. How'd you like a little nukey today? Boy, that's good preaching, isn't it? Man, Lord, don't kill them while they talk about me tonight. They know not. But you're going to know real soon. America wants to halt the building up of settlements in Israel. President Obama is always saying, you can't do that. You can't build on that West Bank. It's offending the Palestinians. Forget the Palestinians. Who are they? How about us? We can't, if they come to us, you can't build over in California, or you can't build in Oregon or Iowa. Hello? People are wrong to tell Israel that they can't build in their own country what they want. People are getting dumber all the time. We're getting stupider and dumber and illiterate. By the way, that's how, it's just been in my heart. I got to get this out, Bill. I know I'm going to be hated after I say this, but I don't care. I'm just going to all let it fly out. I really, after this last election, unless we have really a national revival, I don't think we're ever going to get another conservative in the White House. Because I'm going to tell you why. Number one, America's wicked. America, the average American, they've got a lot of wickedness in their life. Pornography, evil. How many are with me? So there's not, if you put a fundamentalist in there, which I wish we had, that say we're going to turn back to God, they say, oh, we can't have that. We can kill babies and we can do those things, but we can't have prayer. Hello? There's a major, more people that are liberal, way more people that are liberal than there are conservatives. And then I really believe this with all my heart. There's just a lot of illiterate people. And I'm not saying I'm real smart, but I'm smart enough to vote for a guy that's going to do better by my country. I know a lot of you Democrats are just scourging right now. And I've been good enough to call you Democrats. But when you get to heaven, when you stand before God, He'll talk to you. I ain't going to do nothing. You'll see. Go ahead. Make fun of me. Keep voting for those devils that love abortion, that love the queers, that embrace everything that the Bible stands against, the Democratic Party stands. That's why they even want to take God out of their thing, the Democratic Convention. They want to take God right out of it. And you vote Democratic, you're a horse's hind end. I'm glad I said it. Because you say you're a Christian and you vote for the devils, God help you. This old man still can work it up a little. I love America. And I'm going to tell you, I know some Christians that voted for him. Not in this church. I didn't, but other churches that are fundamental. And I thought, oh, all my lands. And this lady was a good lady. When her son found out, he used to be my deacon, he about had a heart attack. There's a lot of stupid people. Well, I'm going to give him another chance. I'm not telling you the Republicans are the lifesavers. But I'm just saying they're more conservative than the Democrats have literally said, we don't want God. How can any Christian vote for a Democrat? Now you can get mad. You go get your mad. Don't come back to church tomorrow. I don't care. We need preaching like this in the pulpits again. Too many pink wearing panty preachers anymore. Sissy, well back, no good yellow belly preachers, and they don't speak out anymore. You got a bunch of these little sermonettes for Christianettes. We need some preachers to be some Marines again. Stand up and tall and say it like it is. Right. Say it with love, though. I say it because I love you. There'll be a time when I'll be gone. There'll be a time when some of these other fundamental guys are gone. And you young people, whew, boy, Billy, I feel sorry for you if the rapture don't happen. You're going to be out there, Billy, and you're going to have to let it fly and spit and scream and jump up and down and get a man. And you and Taylor Goldman crying because as they leave, they'll be yelling at you. I can't believe how much you've got in your heart. Oh, I get it. I'm sure I'll get a letter this week. But you don't know something about you that will send me the letters? You never put a return address on it. They're so brave, but they never put a return address. Stinking wimp. Why don't you just go right to my face? Come on to my face. You say, boy, this ain't very godly. I'm going to tell you, America is, I love America. And we have lost America. Billy, I'm telling you, you surprised. Bill, see, unless we have a national revival, Billy, and that, Billy, a national revival is the only hope for America. Otherwise, we're going under. Outside of national revival, starting from the president on down, and he's a Muslim, so that ain't going to happen unless he gets saved. Hello? Boy, you can't wait to get this and tape this. Man, I'm taking this to my buddy. He's going to have a lawsuit against you, preacher. Oh, come on. We got millions of dollars. We'll make it. I think we're insured for a couple million. And I ain't got $5 in my bank account, so you ain't going to get too much. I'm going out like I came in. I got to close. I don't even know where I'm at anymore, Josh. I truly believe America will soon turn their back completely on Israel. It ought to make you mad when they turn their back on Israel. America will receive a curse from God instead of a blessing. And God has blessed America from the infancy and the beginning of our nation. When America finally turns her back on Israel, I believe judgment will fall down. I believe that's the only thing holding us together right now, is we still stand with Israel. Three major things. Well, I believe judgment's coming to America. And I believe it's coming before the rapture. The sanctity of life. The sanctity of marriage. And the sanctity of Israel. I believe those three things. I know there's a lot of sin. But I think those are the three major sins that are destroying our country tonight. And unless we change, I really believe in my heart that we're going to see great judgment come down. I got to live most of my life. But what about our kids? What about our kids? What about these young couples? They're just starting. We need to turn back to God. And I think it's going to take a lot of churches like ours falling on our knees and saying, oh God, have mercy on me. And God, bring revival. Because short of a national revival, we're not going into the trib. I don't think we're even going to be we'll be lower than a third country. I believe that with all my heart. Coolidge, I can never find America in prophecy. Why? All my life I said, why? Why? Now in 2013, I know why. Sin. America has gone so far into sin that unless we have a major revival, just like God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe he's going to destroy, or if not destroy, greatly judge America. I hope that we can turn it. There's only one way to turn it, and that's bring people to Christ. If Lot only would have had 10 people, God said, I'll hold back my judgment if you get 10 people saved. We better get some people saved. That's the only thing holding back the judgment of God, that in Israel. Once we take our hand off Israel, and with this administration, I don't think you're far from it. And the way we're going, I don't even care if the Republicans get back, which I doubt they will. But I don't even know if they're all trying to clamor for the votes now. They don't care about truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. I love you, church. I'm not trying to scare you. But I'm just saying, we need to get close to God. Amen? And we need to bring as many people we can to Christ. The only hope for America is a national revival. Can you imagine thousands of people getting saved, Bill? Man, wouldn't that be exciting? Seeing people saved every service, baptized every service? Whew. That's what we need all over America. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we had. Lord, I pray with all my heart that you'll forgive me of my sins. And oh God, please, please bring revival to America. Oh God, spare our country from judgment. Oh God, just like Jonah came to Nineveh, may some Jonahs rise up. May some Jonahs rise up in America and bring people back to God. Starting with our elected officials and all down through the cities. Please. Oh God, I pray for my children and all the children. Lord, I know that judgment's imminent. If something doesn't change, I really believe the hand of God is going to be shown forth to people. Lord, so I pray for America, the country that I love so dearly. Please, bring back America. Oh, God.
Bring back America to you. Please, bring back America to you. Oh, God, bring back America to you. Oh, God, bring back America to you. And, Lord, if there's people here who have never been saved, I pray that they'll realize they're lost in their sin and that Jesus Christ died just for their sin and that he arose that third day and he's in heaven and they can have eternal life and forgiveness and just by trusting in Christ, asking him into their heart and life as their Savior, repenting of their sin and inviting Christ in. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, save that one nearest to hell, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. Sing a verse. You want to come? You come right now.